$3 trillion more. Joe Biden is just getting started. What did I tell you? $1.9 trillion, that's just a drop in the bucket. He wants another $3 trillion. This is total insanity. We do not have this money. We cannot afford this money. This is the socialization, if you would, of America. Cuba's going to have nothing on us. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. Welcome to the Trish Intel Show. And yes, Joe Biden is getting proposed by his economic team $3 trillion worth of fresh stimulus spending. For what? Green energy. Yes. I kid you not. Green energy. That is the Biden administration's priority. They want to reduce carbon emissions. Also, by the way, improve infrastructure. They want to reduce income inequality. So basically, that gets at the whole reparations thing. We can talk about that in a bit. And they want to boost our economy somehow, some way. But listen, at this point, you don't just keep spending money you guys don't have. Oh, but wait, they figure they can just tax people. Yeah, they'll just tax everybody to the point where actually, when you look at the numbers, we could be looking at the highest tax rates in the world. Mm-hmm. New York and California, certainly. So if you combine this effort from the Biden administration to up taxes with what so many states are trying to do, which is up taxes, you start looking at marginal income tax rates of 70%, or in the case of California, 71%. You see, this would make us, lucky us, home to the highest tax rates in the world. I mean, forget Europe. They're going to have nothing on us. And by the way, can I just say, who needs Bernie Sanders when you have Joe Biden, right? The Biden tax plan that Congress is debating this week would raise the top income tax rate to 39.6% from its current 37% today. And that's not all. Biden wants to place a new payroll tax of 15% on earnings over $400,000. Or shall we say, even though he doesn't know this, right, because he does not know his own tax policy, and you can go back 2 podcasts ago where I got into all this, it would actually mean that if you were earning $100,000 and your spouse was earning $300,000, or if you both were earning $200,000, and guess what? Everybody's taxes go up, all right? Even though he sat there and told us on national television, oh, you don't have to worry. If you don't make a penny more than $400,000, you're fine. Well, no, that's wrong. And actually, it's as a family unit, if you make more than $400,000, forget about it, because any additional hour of work, Joe Biden's going to tax you 54%. And, you know, you've already got sky high tax rates in states like New Jersey, New York, California, Hawaii, Minnesota, Oregon, Iowa, Arizona. They're all looking at tax rates that are approaching marginal tax rates anyway of 70%. And then if California and New York get their way, they're going to go even higher, because in California, they figure, oh, the answer to all their problems is just to tax more. So the General Assembly is considering raising the tax income rate to 16.5%. And in New York, you get Andrew Cuomo, brilliant guy that he is, looking at 15.5% in places like New York City. Okay, this is not sustainable. But like I said, we ought to have seen this coming. America, somehow, some way, elected Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And these two have such a leftist agenda. They are willing to tear our country down, to tear our economy down, to build it up as they see fit in some kind of socialist utopia that will never work. I guarantee you, it'll never work. I mean, look at these, and I'm just going to say idiotic policymakers on the border front, right? You know what we have there? We have a major problem. We have a crisis because all these people are flooding in because Joe Biden is promising somehow a pathway to citizenship. I mean, so of course they're coming, right? Like, that's natural. You can't even begrudge him that. Joe Biden's the one who held up the welcome sign, but he doesn't have the wherewithal to manage it. He doesn't have the common sense to figure out that his DHS ought to figure this whole thing out so that we don't wind up with a complete, utter disaster at the border, which is exactly what we have. You would not believe the pictures that Project Veritas got. I'm going to talk about them next. If you have not seen these photos, you need to take a look. I want you to go to trishintel.com right now, because our friends at Project Veritas gave these to me. And I have them up there on the website. These are exclusive photos that they have of a Customs and Border Patrol facility in Donna, Texas. And this is I mean, it's unbelievable. I actually talked to them and I was like, guys, like, what is this that I'm looking at? Because it almost looks like, dare I say, I mean, it almost looks like dead bodies because people are wrapped in these foil, like tin things to keep them warm, right? They're like space outfits, space blankets. And they're lying shoulder to shoulder at a time when, you know, the nation is still dealing, obviously, with COVID concerns. And yet, forget about the 3 feet apart. And these people are right on top of each other. And looking at it, you know, I wasn't even sure what I was looking at. TrishIntel.com has all the pictures from Project Veritas. James O'Keefe went down there and he tried to get in. His source had provided him with these pictures and the project wouldn't let him in because, you know what, Joe Biden's not allowing anybody to get into these border facilities. He's trying to hide this from the press. You know what? You can't hide this. This is reality. And this is, you can call it whatever you want. This is a good old fashioned crisis and it's time to fix it. You know, I understand you want to be as compassionate as possible, but the answer is not come one, come all. Let's hold up the welcome sign when we can't manage it, right? That is not compassionate. You are putting children in harm's way. They're being sent here unaccompanied. Because Joe Biden says, well, we're not going to turn back kids. Well, you know, I said this all along. I was actually cautioned to be very careful about how I phrased it, et cetera, because, you know, you got to be on the side of the kids. Of course, I'm on the side of the kids, for goodness sakes. Of course I am. But when you're on the side of the children, you also have to think about, is it really in their interest to be sent north to the border alone? Where they can be harmed, where they can be put in these federal custody facilities, where apparently they're not protected at all. Because I want to read you what this source told Project Veritas in an email. And I quote, the immigrants are separated by age or physical size, depending on room. 50 were COVID positive in these cells over the last few days. There have been multiple sexual assaults, normal assaults, and daily medical emergencies. Okay, so again, I go back to why are we holding out the welcome sign? Why wouldn't you actually want to act as a deterrent? Why wouldn't you say, you know what? It's not going to work out so well. You know, I discourage you from coming here instead of come one, come all. And let's not forget, Martha Raddatz from ABC News did a report on this on Sunday night in which she interviewed one of the migrants who said one of the main reasons he was coming here was because of Joe Biden. And because the shift in tone, you know what? Tone matters. Policy matters. And this administration is so stupid and so dumb about the most obvious things in the world. Because what? They're bleeding heart liberals. I'm sorry. You know what? Get rid of the bleeding heart because it's going to cause every heart to bleed. You guys need to figure this out. We cannot be in an environment where we've got 15,500 children here alone in the United States of America being subjected to God knows what because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris thought it would be a nifty idea for political purposes if they just invited everyone in. This needs to get fixed. It is a crisis. And America has had enough. Okay, coming up. Speaking of America having had enough, do you know the CDC is talking about putting us back into lockdown mode again?
Uh-huh.
That'll go over well. Didn't we learn anything from Florida? We're talking about it next. Just when we thought we were through with the last lockdown, what do you know? The CDC is talking about another. The CDC's Rochelle Walensky said on Monday that she's worried the U.S. could see, quote, another avoidable surge. Avoidable. You see, if we just mask up and we lock down, it's avoidable of COVID-19. If mask wearing, physical distancing, crowd and travel avoidance and other measures are not followed, she says. Speaking in a White House briefing, Walensky said the Biden administration is encouraging governors and the private sector to maintain or reimpose coronavirus restrictions. I don't know. Call me naive. I just don't think that that's going to work. You know, we've got the proof. The proof is in the pudding, as they say. Take a look at California versus Florida. Florida with relatively low coronavirus rates compared to California, despite the fact that Florida has the elderly population. And guess what else? Kids stayed in school in Florida and the economy stayed open in Florida. And thus you have a much lower unemployment rate than, say, in California and some of these other states like New York and New Jersey. Anyway, let me quote Walensky here, who says, quote, "We are looking at these data. We're reaching out to individual states, trying to encourage them. We are having weekly governor calls to encourage them to look at the case data, to look at what's happening and the variants, and to do as much outreach as we can to slow down the relaxation, that is, of any lack of restrictions," right? They want more restrictions, not less. We'd be all living in some kind of giant bubble if it was up to the CDC. Anyway, here are the issues. You got a couple new variants out there, the B1427 and the B1429. They account for 52% of cases in California, 41% in Nevada, 25% in Arizona. And then you get this thing called B117. That variant, which was first identified in the UK, is now thought to be responsible for almost as many as 10% of cases in Florida and New Jersey. And that one is considered highly contagious and possibly more deadly than the original virus. So that's what's got them concerned. And then, you know, you factor in the poor rollout of the AstraZeneca vaccine over in Europe. And so you get Europe on high alert, Paris now resuming this month-long lockdown. And somehow the CDC is thinking, well, maybe we can do that here too. And they're encouraging the Biden administration to tell governors, maybe we can do that here too. Maybe we can lock down. I don't think it's going to fly. You know what? I have never, ever liked the light. You well know, right? I mean, it was a big spectacle. Don't forget about a year ago when I said that basically the left was using coronavirus to go after the president. And now they're using coronavirus, in my view, to try and get more money back to the $3 trillion that they want to spend, right? Oh, we have to, because we need it for coronavirus. Look, it's time that everyone, as harsh as this may sound or seem, you know what? We got to get on with our lives. We have to enjoy our lives. We have to be responsible with our lives. And if you're somebody who is not vaccinated and is in a category of people that would be vulnerable, then obviously you're going to need to take different precautions. But the idea that we're somehow going to lock down again, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to fly. Just a hunch here. Anyway, I want to talk about the market because we've got a treasury yield on the 10-year that's actually creeping down. People are saying, oh, maybe there is not so much inflation that's going to come into the economy. We'll see how long that lasts. Meanwhile, the Fed chair doesn't quite seem to realize the competition we're getting from China on the digital currency front. I want to know what that's going to mean for things. We're talking about it next. Okay, we're going to see how this all shakes out in terms of the market today. But keep in mind, there's a bit of a risk on thing happening because you saw a lot of people, a lot of investors getting back into technology. Stocks like Apple went up in Monday session. You had Tesla, you had Intel. Of course, there's been a semiconductor supply shortage going on around the world. Anyway, some of the tech stocks were really good performers. And the question is, does that keep up in this environment? I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't know how it can. I mean, until the bubble bursts, right? You got an asset bubble that's going on and it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I say asset bubble only because we've never been trading at 30 times earnings like this before. But nonetheless, it's good while it's happening, right? And the Fed has given every indication. I mean, they said again on Monday that they're going to continue being there. I know some people want to like slice and dice it and they think, well, maybe they don't really mean it. But you know what? This is a Fed that's extremely dovish. For all the talk about Jerome Powell when he was first going in there, about being a guy who, you know, came from business as opposed to just being one of these wonky academics, the truth is he's succumbed, right? I mean, he's just another central banker. They're all just central bankers who think that they can control the world and the economy through their movements or lack thereof. And so their tendency in this environment, especially with Joe Biden in charge, right, is to help him. And so they want to help him by leaving interest rates at record lows, not just through 2021, but they told us through 2022 and 2023, all the way through 2024. I mean, my goodness, are they ever going to raise? Probably not so long as Joe Biden's in the seat. Anyway, you combine that with the $3 trillion that Joe Biden wants to spend on the heels of the $1.9 trillion that he's already spent on the heels of what the Trump administration did in terms of spending. And I'm talking about a lot of money. All right. This is what you call money printing. And this kind of scenario never ends well. I mean, it would have to be a really perfect situation for it to end well. And Larry Summers is right. I would actually up the odds on this, but he's saying, you know, 2/3 of a chance this thing does not work. Only 1/3 of a chance it does. Because on the one hand, you very well, Larry Summers, by the way, being the former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, as well as the head of the National Economic Council under Barack Obama and the former head economist at the World Bank. Anyway, he's saying, and I get it, like, you know, on the one hand, you could very much run into inflation. And if that happens, the Fed freaks out. And so then they pull back, obviously, to try and counteract that. And you wind up with a recession. Or you wind up in a situation where the Fed's like, okay, we're not going to do anything. But you know what? This whole spending thing, it doesn't really work, right? It doesn't work. And so then you have an economy that's not growing. And yet you have a Fed that's kept the spigot open. And so you then wind up with stagflation. And then the other scenario, the one we all hope for, right, is that it all does work, that the Fed is able to manage this and that the government spends as much as it wants and nobody really cares and we don't get inflation. We just get growth and we all live happily ever after. Let's all hope that that happens. Anyway, that's what the market is planning on right now. So I do expect additional upside in the market in the coming months. In fact, this could go on for many, many months. But do not forget the reality that's lurking there. I just say that because I want everybody to be aware and to be cognizant of it. And I recommend you watch, of course, you can just listen to this podcast. I'll watch it for you. 10-year treasury yields, because 10-year treasury yields give you a good sense of where inflation might be going. You think about the beginning of the year in 2020, before the onset of the pandemic, and we were trading below 1% on the yield on the 10-year treasury. Well, now, it went up last Friday to 1.7 and change, Monday down to 1.6 and change. So listen, like, that's manageable and let's hope it stays there. But this has a big effect on the overall market, right? Because if you can make more in a treasury, why do you need to be in equities? Hey, and so then you run the risk of the rotation. Let me get to what's happening on the digital currency front, because Jerome Powell did this webinar yesterday. And one of the things that came up is whether or not Bitcoin could replace the US dollar, right? Could that be a currency of the world? Theoretically, it could, except that you kind of need currencies, right, to be backed in some way, shape, or form by something, because you can't have all that volatility. And it's something that he admitted. In fact, he said, crypto assets, and I quote, are highly volatile, see Bitcoin, and they're therefore not really useful as a store of value. They're not backed by anything. They're more of an asset for speculation. He went on to say, Bitcoin is essentially a substitute for gold rather than the dollar. So I don't know as I go that far, only because gold has been around 4,000 years and Bitcoin's been around, what, since 2012 or so? At least that's when it came on my radar. I like Bitcoin a lot. I love the technology. I think the blockchain is amazing. I do think that this is part of our future for sure. As for whether or not it would replace gold, I think that's probably a non-starter. I think gold is a different specimen that's here to stay. As for whether it could replace the dollar, now that's interesting. Of course, he's going to shoot that down, right? Because apparently the Fed has not been doing the work it should on the darn digital dollar. We need a digital dollar. Hello? China has a digital yuan. In fact, they've been dropping digital wallets in various provinces that they're trying to target in China to see how this thing goes. It's like a big experiment. And you know what? It's going great. People like the digital currency. That is the future. So we run a risk. If the United States does not get out in front of the digital currency issue, we run the risk that China does. And you know what? It's a whole lot easier. I mean, think about credit cards versus traveler's checks, credit cards versus cash. This is what a digital currency will become. It's easier to transact in. It's cheaper to transact in. So people will migrate to that. China wants to be the world's reserve currency. Let's please not let them. Let's not make it any easier. Let's focus on what we can do, what we should do to come in to the year 2021. Anyway, again, we're watching the markets today. Watch gold, watch treasuries, watch equities. I'm going to be with you all day on trishintel.com. You can get all your news right there. Make sure you download this podcast. Make sure you tell your friends, you spread the word, because it's important right now. It's important to get real news out there in America for everyone to hear. I'll see you tomorrow.